Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
Time to get classy.
Yeah, he's back, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Joel is back.
Yeah.
The ship didn't burn down while you were gone.
I'm glad. I don't care if it's not a ship.
Well, yeah. So...
I'm back just in time for the worst pay-per-view of the year.
Oh, whatever.
Chris, would you like to explain why this is the worst pay-per-view of the year?
Well, first of all, I would just like to ask you if there was anything said last week that you would like to, deny or bury.
I still had editing power.
You still had Final Cut.
You listened to it. It was not as long as the raw footage that you delivered me.
It really wasn't. The raw audio. It didn't seem like we talked about scarecrows nearly as long as we probably did. And by we, I mean Jason. I'm so sorry about that. So, Night of Champions, you consider it to be the worst?
Worst pay-per-view of the year, yes.
We've been waiting on this rant from you.
Have we? Yeah, I feel like I gave it last year.
I don't care. It can be a yearly thing.
All right.
We need a yearly reminder. Tell the people, even though you told me to say it, but I want you to tell.
All right, quick rundown of why Night of Champions is the worst pay-per-view of the year.
Yes.
Every year.
Oh, now I remember it. Okay, good.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's the worst gimmick concept. Because the idea is that every championship is on the line.
And how is that different from every other pay-per-view, Joel?
Because in every other pay-per-view, only the good championships are on the line.
Or the ones that have a storyline.
Yes.
Yes. Well, actually, from what it looks like with the card, that's the case with this one, too.
That only the good ones, that they don't have all the championships on the line yet?
Yes. The ones that don't have storylines don't really have a match.
So Night of Champions is not even following its own gimmick. It's like DLC matches.
Pretty much. Because what, we got two mid-card belts aren't being defended.
Yeah.
So far, you know, we're recording this Monday night. They might announce something between now and then.
I'm sure something will get announced some way, somehow.
I'm hoping so.
Well, that's the thing, is the card is so empty right now.
Yeah, one kickoff match and four matches on the actual card.
So unless
and that's part of the reason why, like, I completely forgot that Night of Champions was this Sunday, because they haven't announced anything.
I know.
So, I don't...
I think they don't like Night of Champions either.
I guess
not. I think we're in too deep. I think we can't go back.
Yeah, but, I mean, they have to have it now, because if they don't have it this week, they won't really have any time to build up for Battleground, which is coming up very soon.
Yeah.
It's the very first weekend of October. Mm-hmm. And then you have 3 weeks until... Or 3 weeks from that until Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. Well, we don't know much about Battleground, but are they trying... You know, is there a gimmick concept?
Right.
Are they trying
to do something? I'm assuming... Yeah, and, you know, we're all assuming that it's going to play into the whole battle between the talent and, you know, Corporation 2.0.
Yeah. And this is a situation where, you know, there's been rumors of, if it's there as a gimmick, there is the War Games recreation kind of gimmick.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. But if they are wanting to build up Battleground to be an actual pay-per-view, or if it's going to be like that rotating slot in June with Payback and No Way Out and whatever else they need there. I mean, this is where Bragging Rights used to be. You know?
Yeah, and I forgot what was here last year everything was just spread out.
Everything was nicely spaced out better. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but not this year.
No, not so much. I guess we should dive in. Well, dive in carefully because it's obviously shallow.
Let's go through what card we have, what little card we have.
We start off with the kickoff. It is a tag team turmoil match to determine the number one contenders for the WWE Tag Team Championship, which I'm assuming is going to be defended later that night.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it going to be defended later that night?
Right. The participants, let me go ahead and just run through that.
Okay.
We got Primetime Players, Tons of Funk, The Usos, 3MB, and The Real American. Five teams. Joel, do you remember what a tag team turmoil match is?
Nope.
Okay.
Is it? But
I looked it up, and basically it's like a tag team version of a gauntlet match.
Okay.
It starts off with two teams. Whoever wins gets to go on to the next match, and whoever loses is eliminated. And they bring out the next guy, and whoever wins that match gets to go on until the last one's remaining.
Right.
First, basically, it's really good for the people who show up last.
Right. First of all, we don't know which two of 3MB are going to be there.
Is that a big deal breaker? Like, is that like a...
I don't know.
That changes up your deciding...
We're supposed to predict. How can I predict without that information, Chris?
Because any two of the three... okay, let's just go ahead and put it out there on Front Street. Heath Slater and Jinder Mahal probably won't win. Heath Slater and... Drusev McIntyre probably won't win. And Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal probably won't win.
I mean, no, I'm going primetime players.
Obviously, they're the hot team.
They're the hot team. They're not the only face, but I was like...
But they're the only ones that's getting big play right now. It was the Usos, but then Darren Young had his, you know, moment of publicity, yeah. So...
Gotta grab that while it's hot.
Exactly. Which so. You shouldn't do, kids, because that's how you get burned. Don't touch the ovens.
We'll return to that metaphor in about a month and a half. When the primetime players are not doing anything.
This, the more you know PSA, has been brought to you by Class and Ring Attire.
Well, I mean, honestly, they are the ones that have shown genuine talent.
Right.
Of anybody.
So,
I like the Usos, but not as much as I like primetime players, so.
Yeah, I mean, we've liked primetime players for a while. You know.
I even like Darren Young.
I know, you like Darren Young. I more like Titus O'Neil.
I think Titus O'Neil shows more raw talent and potential for a brighter future.
But he has no SmackDown talent? I'm sorry. You just kind of laid
what
it up there.
What uproarious humor. However will I contain myself after that jovial wit that I have just witnessed.
Oh, I missed you so much, Joel. Oh, yeah. Mm.
All right, give it your maths and move on.
All right, thank you for that enthusiasm. This many tag teams in the setup, it could be pretty good, so I'll give it about 4 maths.
Here's the real question. How long do you think this match will be?
Oh, not long.
Because
I mean, well,
they have to eliminate 4 tag teams, but
yeah, that
it's the pre-show. It's the 30-minute maximum pre-show, and you know that half of that's going to be dedicated to pumping
the
up
last,
the card and advertising, trying to get people to
the
buy.
The U.S. title shot... title match last week got a really good, at least over half, I want to say. So maybe they'll stick with that because they haven't announced any big names on the panel.
Right.
So at least in between 15 to 20 minutes, I think they can get this done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'm picking primetime players.
Well, that's the thing.
It's just like, hard not to pick them.
Honestly, 3MB is going to take about 40 seconds in the ring, you know?
Yeah, obviously.
So there are teams like Real Americans and Primetime Players will go at each other for a while. Et cetera, et cetera. You know what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
Pick exactly what's going to happen, but yeah, you know what's going to happen. Next match.
The Divas Fatal 4-Way for the championship. We got AJ versus Natalya versus Brie versus Naomi. It could be an interesting match.
Yeah.
Because, you know, got a Bella and a Funkadactyl, and we got, you know, the individuals from both teams that can actually wrestle. Got Natalya, we know what she can do. We got AJ, we know what she can do.
Yeah.
So, I think this could be a good Divas match.
This definitely could be a good Divas match. And here's the thing for me right now. As honestly, genuinely charmed as I am by Total Divas, and as good as I think there is potential to really help the Divas division with through Total Divas, Total Divas, my knowledge of it existing is now affecting my pick for who I think will win.
Right.
And when I'm watching Divas matches, I'm realizing that it is, you know, it is weighs very heavily how this will affect Total Divas storylines 6 months down the road. Because it's been picked up. I think it's coming back in November.
Yeah.
So, if AJ becomes a, you know, character on Total Divas, and you know, I could totally see those promos, Total Divas is back, and this time they've got new divas to
right.
Total Divas, Diva-ing. Even totaler divas.
Wow, you just smoothed all over that. Good job.
No, I think I should be hired by E right now.
The watch the total divas total diva each other's.
Yep, I like it.
I mean,
and that's the thing. Or in 6 months' time, we'll be watching a story about Natalya winning her first championship. Her first championship?
No. She's been champion before.
Okay. But Natalya finally getting her come up and Naomi winning her first championship.
Right. I don't know. I would.
Or Brie has the champion and Nikki doesn't, and there's twin jealousy. Like, there's.
Oh, God.
There's your storylines. Natalya finally getting the respect she deserves, Naomi winning her first championship, or twin jealousy.
Yeah, I can hear Nikki complaining already in my head.
So here's the thing. Pick based on which storyline you want to watch on Total Divas in 6 months.
I'm gonna go 3.5 maths.
You are just doling out the maths today, sir. The pre-show got 4. I'm assuming these are still out of 5.
Yes.
Yeah, 4 maths.
We got 4 Bellas or 4 Divas that I actually like.
Yeah.
Okay. So that has a lot to do with it.
Okay.
You know. Now, if this was Oksana,
Alicia Fox.
No, I'm okay with Alicia Fox. Layla.
Oh, I like Layla.
Nikki Bella and Cameron. Then I would be like, no maths.
Cameron
and Naomi from the Funkadactyls.
Her name is Cameron.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't.
Sorry, I was trying to think of the redhead. What's the redhead's name on Total Divas?
Eva Marie.
Eva Marie. Yeah. I was like, what if it's like Eva Marie versus Summer Rae?
Okay, can we have a quick Total Divas side note right here? Now, have you watched this week's?
I haven't watched this week's yet.
Okay.
Are you going to tell me a story?
Yes, I'm going to tell you a story. I promise I will go on the rant like I did last week.
I love this is a genuine chunk of this show now.
Okay, okay.
Chris geeks out about Total Divas.
I'm not geeking out. This is me with a legit complaint. Okay, okay. The big news with this episode is Eva Marie gets the Maxim photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's all excited, and she's telling everyone the good news, and JoJo is just like, yeah, good for you, hooray, whatever, you know? And then after the shoot, a few scenes later, JoJo is practicing the national anthem in the living room of their apartment, and, you know, they're like, what are you doing? Oh my god, you can sing, hooray, whatever. Then to go to Eva Marie's little talking head part, she's like, what are you trying to even focus on? Like, I thought you were here to wrestle and you're here singing? And I'm like,
you're in Max.
This is coming from someone who's just geeking out over modeling or whatever, and I'm pretty sure she wasn't a wrestler before this anyway.
Poor Chris.
I'm sorry. But that rustled my feathers right there, okay?
It'll all be okay.
I'm sorry, I hate hypocrites.
It's okay.
Okay. I was gonna say AJ's gonna win the Fatal 4.
I hope AJ's gonna win.
Yeah. And just kind of play up the storyline. Because, I mean, yeah, we got that one promo, kind of started things, but really hasn't done anything since. No. I would like to see them kind of build that a little bit more.
Well, that's the thing, is I would like investment in the Divas to translate to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And while you have this whole Total Divas thing going on, AJ and this wrestler versus the reality show stars concept thingamajiggy, you know, it's there. It's right in front of your face.
Right.
Use it.
Absolutely.
Next up.
So we're going to move on to the World Heavyweight Championship match. Alberto Del Rio versus Rob Van Dam.
With Ricardo Rodriguez.
With Ricardo Rodriguez.
I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is the point where I would like to point out that Dolph Ziggler is not on this card.
Yeah.
This is a card that doesn't even have John Cena or Sheamus on it. And they could not find room for Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
I am very upset about that.
I know you are.
And I'm livid.
Because you're wanting after his match against Big E and AJ, you're like, okay, well, let's go ahead and end this, and then so Dolph Ziggler can get back in the championship picture.
Yeah.
Nope.
And then Rob Van Dam comes in and is like, wait a minute. I had no investment in him being world champion.
It's like Rob Van Dam. You should have been in the championship picture at SummerSlam.
Yeah, sure. But
Yeah.
I don't know.
I blame Christian. You should blame Christian.
Why am I blaming Christian?
Because Christian had his world heavyweight championship at SummerSlam. When it should have been Rob Van Dam. That was Rob Van Dam's time.
And that's delaying Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
Well, here's the thing. There was an internal memo or something. There was some dirt sheet kind of memo thing that was floating around where Triple H was saying to the talent, now is the time to step up. There is this very clear hole with no Sheamus and no John Cena.
Yeah.
You know, this is the time for you mid-card talent, you know, to break through the glass ceiling. Here is where we are looking for you. And Dolph Ziggler is right there.
Yeah.
He's right there, you guys.
I'm saying blame Christian. This is like Nathan Lane's character from Producers handing Will Ferrell's character the gun, like, kills the actors.
Wow. What a weird reference.
Producer's reference.
Not even the, successful Broadway show, like, the mildly breaking even movie.
Because that's what I've seen.
Right on. I guess Del Rio?
Yeah.
There's no reason not to have him champion, and I need a heel champion so that Dolph Ziggler can come win it.
I mean, it could be a good match.
No,
we like Rob Van Dam now that he's back with WWE and this newfound enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Alberto Del Rio, he still puts on really good matches.
I'm actually, I'm not dreading this match.
Right, it's just sure we want the
in-ring talent.
Yeah,
we will just be fun.
Dolph Ziggler was involved.
Well, and if Dolph Ziggler was too busy with a personal grudge storyline, where he was about to put on an amazing match, that'd be fine. But he's not on the card.
Yes, and that's a big problem.
That is a big problem.
You never know; they could announce a U.S. title match.
Yeah, I don't want him to be the U.S. champion. He was U.S. champion.
But we would get a Dolph versus Dean Ambrose.
Oh,
match. Yeah. I'm turning you around. How can you say no to that?
Yeah, okay.
I'm on board.
You've swayed me.
And we had that Raw match last week where he was supposed to face Ryback, and then Dean came in and attacked him right beforehand. So there's seeds of it.
I rescind my anger. No,
if it happens,
yeah.
If it happens now, if it doesn't happen, and we just don't get a U.S. Championship match, and Dolph Ziggler's not on the card, then yeah. We will run after them with fire and pitchforks.
Their flat has to be more.
There has to be more matches.
These are going. Well,
they're
going
to be matches that you don't want to see. I can almost guarantee you.
They're getting close to hour long matches here.
Yeah, with four. Yeah, with very long commercials in between.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're going to get a ton of Total Divas commercials, whatever new DVD is coming out.
Yeah.
Probably Triple H DVD, which looks pretty good.
Which looks really good. I got to say, I think...
A full-on, honest, documentary type about Triple H's career, I would love it.
Well, my hope and my impression is that this CM Punk DVD kind of lit a fire under
everyone.
How you make a DVD focused on wrestling.
Yeah, and they knew that they were going to... When that DVD came out, they knew that they were going to have a positive reaction just because of CM Punk's popularity.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't think they were fully expecting was everyone's great reaction to the quality of it.
Yeah.
Not just because it was CM Punk. Not just because it was somebody that most people loved. It's just, we actually like this style and we want to see more of it.
Yeah.
And we saw that with Mick Foley.
Well, that's the thing is Mick Foley and that group of wrestlers, that Attitude Era, is a lot of really popular fan favorite guys who are now genuinely at the end of their, career,
mm-hmm.
specifically in ring, and stuff. I don't... And, you know, I could be wrong, but I feel it's very possible that Triple H will never again have a match that is DVD worthy.
Right.
Like, I'm sure he will lace up, he will get in the ring.
Right, but nothing that'll add to the... some
beating somewhere.
Nothing that adds to the Triple H mythos kind of thing. Yeah. Now, and, like, how intriguing is it that we get an out-of-character Undertaker, too, for that?
Oh, I'm excited about that.
Makes me believe that maybe they'll be willing to do a full, honest documentary of the Undertaker character. And just the career in general.
Is that... I'm trying to think, like, if there's any theoretical DVD I could want more than that.
I can't... To be honest with you, I really can't. Like, it's one that... Yeah, we've had... You know, DVDs of Undertaker, but nothing really honest.
No, yeah, I mean, we've had...
You know? And of course, I already know that we won't be able to get that until he retires.
No, he'll have to retire.
You know, that's going to require a lot of breaking character, and that's something that he hasn't really been able... He hasn't been willing to do.
But, God, I really want an explanation for American Badass.
Yeah.
And not even, like, I'm angry and bitter about that. Like that.
But you're just curious, like, why, how did you...
I want to know what the pitch was.
Because generally, a wrestler whose character is very close to his own personality, mm-hmm. it works very well, most times. Not so sure if Biker Taker worked.
Yeah.
Better than
Undertaker.
Deadman Taker.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I want to know, like, did he pitch that?
Mm-hmm.
Who did he pitch it to? What were, like, initial reactions were?
Yeah.
Who had to win who over? How they did it? Like, that is a thing I really want to hear about. Let's see. I got the Mick Foley DVD.
And the one that you wanted, yeah.
That I wanted.
You just wish they had more matches on the other discs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's also a little bit of, like... Yeah, because we talked about that. Cause
other than that... Like,
he specifically mentions his favorite matches, and they don't have them.
Yeah, but specifically the documentary itself.
The documentary.
Everything you wanted it to be.
Yeah. Obviously, I want another CM Punk. Like a chapter... Like, literally just a chapter two.
Yeah, you know? from there on.
And I liken it, honestly, to Mick Foley's books. Those who have read it, the first book ends with him winning the championship.
Yeah.
You know, and he loses the championship very recently, very, you know, quickly after he wins it to The Rock. But it was like, here's a good ending point, and him, you know...
Yeah, and I'm not even saying that...
And I would like this new documentary just to literally pick up...
Right, after from that point, left on. Go on.
Here's what happened next.
Do you think they probably won't do that until he retires?
If there is two parts.
Right.
And with rumors of him retiring as soon as 2015.
Right.
Yeah, there's two parts to that story.
And I'm not even saying that CM Punk's was the first of its kind or anything. Because to be honest with you, the last Stone Cold documentary and the last Rock documentary was pretty honest. And actually, I really enjoyed, especially Stone Cold's. I really like Stone Cold's. Because we got a lot of the footage of, you know, after Raw went off the air, him just kind of joking around because he was there. You know, it was a little bit more welcoming and heartfelt kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but CM Punk's obviously was the one that really got everybody's attention.
Yeah. We've talked about it before. There are documentaries that we would like if they were not done by WWE.
Yeah, there's a Vince McMahon one
mm-hmm.
that I would really like to see, like a really honest, non-kayfab story. But,
Vince McMahon one that they had was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that, clearly the subject of the documentary got final say on what the documentary would look like. But he does talk about, you know, I like that people don't know where the line is between Vince McMahon and Mr. McMahon.
Right.
And they don't know who they're going
to
get.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so many stories that I would like to hear from an honest, like, his honest, you know, thinking through it. Like the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the big steroid scandal of the 90s, like all of that stuff. I would love to hear his thoughts on it.
Yeah.
You know, and that would be a huge documentary.
Yeah, no, I'd really like that.
And again, that might not be some... that's something that probably Vince McMahon is not going to produce himself.
Mm-hmm. I would love a real NWO documentary.
Yeah, like, not the rewarming...
No, it was cut and pasted, previous interviews, repackaged for money.
Yeah, there was absolutely nothing original about that.
That was awful. So I would love a good NWO documentary.
Considering, you know, only one member of NWO, of the original NWO, is in the good graces of WWE right now.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's part of the problem is, I want to know what Hogan had to say about the NWO.
I mean, they brought him back for that WrestleMania documentary, and that was really good, but mm-hmm. I'm guessing they couldn't do that for NWO.
I don't know. I mean, he might have better memories about WrestleMania than he does.
Did you ever watch the Attitude Era DVD?
I have not seen the Attitude Era.
Yeah, me neither. I was kind of curious about it. I heard mixed stuff about that, too.
Yeah, it's on the watchers. Oh, speaking of, I'm halfway through it now, the Top 25 Rivalries documentary is on Netflix now.
Okay.
So it's really good so far. I
completely forgot that existed.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah. So I'll have to go back.
It has this, like, chemistry gimmick, like this, you know... It's like, chemistry in the ring. And then it's like, starts using like actual chemicals. It's like, in this rivalry, you could say that Mick Foley was the potassium to Triple H's barium. And you're like, oh, why are you doing that?
Oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So it's like the Oh My God song on the...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, my God.
Except... Yeah. It's a lot longer, and they really try.
Now I see why you're only halfway through that, because yep. it sounds like a chore. Yep. Maybe I shouldn't watch this.
it's something... And honestly...
I really did like the Oh My God moments,
mm-hmm.
if it wasn't for that stupid song.
Yeah. But it's something, and also because it's only 25, it's something where, like, I want to make my own list.
Right.
You know? Which I'm sure we'll do at some point.
I mean, we'll have the kill time one day eventually.
Yeah.
So. Speaking of kill time, we should get back to that Night of Champions card.
Yeah.
who did I say was going to win that?
I said Del Rio. Yeah.
I'll go Rob Van Dam, just to have a differing view. The match itself is going to be good. I'll give it a 4.
All right, fair enough. All right.
CM Punk versus Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman. The mm-hmm. elimination handicap match. If Paul Heyman refuses to participate, I believe they said he was going to be fired.
Okay.
Not for the Intercontinental Championship. Just a simple grudge match.
Mm-hmm. So theoretically, Curtis Axel should have to defend his championship title in another match.
Theoretically, or he
Night of Champions gimmick.
Or whoever wins this match should be the Intercontinental
Suddenly gets
champion.
An announcer.
Yeah, if Paul Heyman somehow weasels himself a win, he should be the Intercontinental Champion. It's not going to happen, but that theoretically, yeah.
So I am concerned.
Yeah, what are you
speaking of? Because we just mentioned earlier, we have probably a good 2 years of CM Punk left.
Mm-hmm.
We have 24 pay-per-views with CM Punk left. 24 more.
Are you saying that we're
are we wasting CM Punk?
Yeah, wasting CM Punk on this pay-per-view? Or with this match on this mm-hmm. pay-per-view? I mean, obviously they wanted to keep the storyline going.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not going to come right out and say we are, because I don't. Honestly, no.
Mm-hmm.
I there are differing opinions.
I mean, I don't think we'll really know that answer until after the fact. Like, after he finally hangs it up, and then we look back and be like, oh, that was kind of wasted. Like, I mean, we could all probably ask the same thing about those, what, 2-3 pay-per-views where CM Punk was in that weird feud with Triple H, whenever he came back, and after, you know, the whole Kevin Nash thing.
But see, CM Punk versus Triple H... I can see that being a pay-per-view match. I can see that being a good match. I can see being willing to invest the time and effort in that match. CM Punk to physically fight Paul Heyman, I don't
see... That feels like a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't see that being good. Which is why I was so down for CM Punk and Brock Lesnar, was because Lesnar would be this, you know, actual physical avatar for
right.
Paul Heyman. That's the culmination of this story. you know? And I don't have something else, you know, this isn't a situation where I'm like, CM Punk should be over here doing this thing, because unless it's the championship, because right. I always would love him in the championship scene, but I don't have something for CM Punk to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, theoretically, you know, it's not too much of a stretch to say we have 25 more pay-per-view matches for CM Punk.
Right.
And, you know, that's... I want them all to be good.
Of course.
And at the same time, you know, I have praised Jericho and condemned others for not genuinely helping to build up, you know, a future roster.
Mm-hmm.
And CM Punk taking time to actually, you know, work with Curtis Axel, make Curtis Axel look good, look confident, mm-hmm. look competent in a match with him, et cetera, could be really good.
Right, but I really don't think that's what we're going
to
get.
But I'm not looking forward to it.
Right.
And it's a CM Punk match. And I look forward to CM Punk matches. That's the deal.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's something else that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what. I don't know if they're going to, you know, blow a Brock Lesnar appearance on this. I don't know. But all things aside, like, you know, the cards are on the table that CM Punk is just going to roll over these two guys.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I don't know. It's not a good feeling for me to not like CM Punk. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I feel bad.
Right.
Like, I've done something wrong here. Because I'm not as excited about a CM Punk match as I should be.
And who knows? Maybe you did do something wrong.
Maybe I did.
Yeah, I'm gonna say CM Punk's gonna win, and...
Well, I'm gonna say CM Punk's gonna win, yeah.
I don't know what math to give it.
See what I'm saying? You're supposed to give it a lot. CM Punk's in this match.
Well, yeah, CM Punk, he's like, you automatically give it 3.5 and then add up to that. Add it from that.
Yeah.
So on that aspect, I'm gonna give it 3.5.
Yeah.
Just because of CM Punk.
So, I don't know. It's...
How is that the lowest rated?
I know. You rated a CM Punk match
below and a Divas match.
On par with a Divas match, yeah.
I don't feel good about that.
See? Don't you just feel like you messed up?
Okay, I was feeling good about this podcast, how everything was going. We talked about, you know, DVDs, we talked about documentaries, and that stuff that we really liked, so I was feeling happy. And then you just bring me down by pointing out my own insecurities about this.
But...
I didn't even think I had insecurities about this.
that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't understand. Because, again, I don't feel like this is automatically a bad thing.
Mm.
You know, CM Punk, obviously, somebody thinks Curtis Axel has talent. It's very possible that person is Paul Heyman. And I put a lot of stock into what Paul Heyman thinks. Paul Heyman is willing to put his name on this guy as a Paul Heyman guy. And you know, obviously there was a storyline of we need another Paul Heyman guy to kind of bring up here.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how much of that, of Paul Heyman's decision was it'll be Curtis Axel and not any of these other guys.
Right.
So there is, you know, there is very clearly a good possible match here. And have they fallen short in convincing me of that somehow? Like, I think that's where I really feel uncomfortable, is that they've fallen short in convincing me that there's a good match to be had here.
Right.
Between these guys. I don't know. And maybe Brock will come back and everything will be wonderful. Because I'll watch CM Punk and Brock Lesnar again in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't care what pay-per-view it's at.
In fact, if that doesn't happen again, I will be a little upset.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like it's something that has to happen. Just, mm-hmm. you know, from how good the first one was. But then again, We could have said the same thing about Brock and John Cena. We've only got one.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, granted, you know, there's still plenty of time left for that to happen, but...
Yeah.
You know, in a straight line of thinking, it didn't happen.
Right.
Finally, we got the WWE Championship match. We got Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. I'm assuming Triple H is going to be involved somehow. I'm assuming Brad Maddox is going to be involved somehow. I'm assuming Big Show and Shield.
It's like, yeah, I guess Big Show's gotten involved in this somehow.
There's so many people involved in this now.
Well, that's the thing is, you know...
And yet there's only four matches in this freaking card.
Yep.
With so much stuff going on and so many people involved, and everything's been really good lately. And we only got four matches on the card.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
And no Dolph Ziggler.
And no Dolph Ziggler. What is that about?
And I feel uncomfortable about the CM Punk match.
Right?
Or not, I'm wary about...
You got a Money in the Bank winner still looming around there. You ain't even got him in a match.
So, here's the thing about the championship match.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think Randy Orton's an incredibly talented in-ring talent. Absolutely. Daniel Bryan, obviously, you know...
One of the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan has this new flying knee move that I really like.
Yes.
I'm hoping I'm going to get to see that. If I don't see that on Sunday, I'm going to be real upset.
We got to see it tonight.
I know.
We got to see it close to the movie, too.
Yes, yeah.
That's a good angle.
So I think that there will be a really good in-ring back and forth between these guys. There will be a really good match put on.
Yeah.
If this is a clean match, I'm going to be upset. Because I need some furthering of this story.
Right. No, I can almost guarantee you that this will not be a clean finish.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee you that Shield, Big Show...
I don't even care if wins.
Big Show's probably going to turn heel again.
If one of these guys wins cleanly over the other one, and we end this show on a victory, you know, thing...
Yeah.
I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
I need somebody to interfere somehow, some way. And I do not say that very often.
No.
I'm a big proponent of clean matches.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, the way this is all shaping up, it's...
That's, yeah. The interesting part about this story is the corporate backstabbing, the cheating, the going, you know, that the going-ons behind the scenes.
Honestly, I would like to see more people kind of stand up to Triple H and not have Daniel Bryan on his own.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, the more you stack against Daniel Bryan, you know, the more, you know... incredible it'll be whenever he overcomes all of it.
The greater the underdog journey, blah blah blah.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's points of time where I'm like, okay, can we have somebody, you know, not be such a pansy about, you know, the corporation or whatever. But, you know, then again, it's like, okay, well, then we won't have really good moments like, you know, him hitting his flying knee kick at the end of Raw. After, what, three straight Raws of him eating it at the end?
Can I say, and I said this when we were watching it, as much as when I feel like I complain about finishers a lot, because there's a lot of finishers I don't like, that flying knee kick is a good finisher.
Oh, absolutely.
That is what a finisher should look like.
Absolutely.
That's gorgeous.
And he unveiled it at the perfect time.
It was oh, man.
That's what made that moment at SummerSlam so amazing. Like, even though we knew what was going to happen after that, and all that... you know, other side stuff. But the fact that he chose to use this new finisher at the end of a very important match that he was going to win, and won because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
cleanly beating John Cena.
Yeah, and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, nowadays you got finishers that... not really finishers. They're finishers if you use them 3-4 times. You know, especially if you're at WrestleMania.
Oh, there's no such thing as a finisher at WrestleMania. Right. If the Tombstone can't finish somebody off.
Right. And like, yeah, we're now getting to the point where you have to at least do the Tombstone twice or more in order to put a guy away.
Which is starting to be problematic because we only see the Tombstone at WrestleMania.
Right.
So, I just don't think he can do it as good as
like
he used
move?
To.
You like that move? Okay, we're going to put it on repeat. You're going to see it two more times.
So, alright. We also need to mention that we got a plethora of returns this week.
Well, first we got to pick a winner.
Oh, I don't even care.
Yeah, I'm going to say Randy Orton, like, retained somehow. Yeah. And I'll give it a good 4.5 maths.
Yeah. I don't want Big Show to turn heel, though.
Yeah, but...
I don't want it.
I don't know.
I don't want it.
Either that, or there's going to be a... He's going to reach his breaking point. Where he finally, you know...
Snaps and
goes after the Shield or Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have somebody on the side of Daniel Bryan, and you kind of get the whole, like, him against the world thing.
Well, honestly, my favorite Big Show is... Well, I like Goofy Big Show.
You do.
Because Goofy Big Show doesn't hurt anything.
True.
Just there and plays around with the...
Bad Big Show is forced down our throats on the main...
Yeah, I don't like heel main Big Show because, yeah, it tends to be a lot of Big Show. I like Tag Team Big Show a lot.
Yeah, I can... It's like the lesser of two evils kind of thing with that version of Big Show.
Well, I like it, and sometimes a tag, like, Show Miz was kind of a weird...
I really...
Combination.
I really kind of liked Show Miz.
And then it was Jericho.
Jericho.
Which, you know, were interesting, weird combinations. I would be down with a Mark Henry, Big Show tag team title run.
Mark Henry stayed healthy.
If
he didn't pull his hamstring running.
Didn't have a boo-boo.
Yeah, so. Blair was so giddy. Mad about that. Or no, he was just, you know,
He was so blary.
He was so blary about it, yeah. Speaking of Blair, we're planning on having him back on the show here soon.
We're very excited.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, be on the lookout for that.
We've got a lot of stuff for him to rant about.
Yes.
Sheamus and John Cena being out, Mark Henry being out, all that stuff.
It's been a while since we had one. Yeah,
we got a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah. All right. As I was saying before, yes. I was so rudely interrupted by forgetting to do something.
Okay. We got 3 returns on Raw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll start with the first one. Edge came back, started off with the Cutting Edge, as advertised. You know, it's just good to see him. I'm never going to get used to that haircut, but it was just good seeing him kind of thing.
Edge has long hair. What's going on, you guys?
Right. You know, he did his typical...
Here's what I really want to know. Is the way I feel about Edge with his Adam Copeland haircut, is that the way that other people felt about Christian when Christian got his haircut short first?
I don't remember.
Like, because I wasn't really, you know...
Because now it's almost weird to see Christian with
yeah, when I see the old stuff, I was like, oh, why does Christian have such long hair? Because I'm used to short hair Christian. So, I don't know. Yeah. That's like the difference between Edge and Adam Copeland, almost, is right. The hair length.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of the usual... segment.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. That was also, that was another really good documentary. Was Edge's?
You think you knew me thing?
Yeah,
yeah. It was good. I completely forgot about that. Yeah, it was another. It was good because they did it after he retired.
They got people back to talk about.
I'm gonna go and rewatch all these documentaries.
I know they got people to talk about the Edge and Matt Hardy Lita stuff.
Yeah,
which like ooh, so yeah, no, it was good. Carry on. Sorry, go on. What are you talking about?
So, this was kind of your typical Edge, you know, in Toronto, crowd loving him. So, he kind of pumped up the face. He, you know, he brought Daniel Bryan out and had a, you know, nice little fun, good times party type deal. And then Randy came out and kind of ruined all over it. And, you know, Edge yelled back. It was one of those things where Edge, you know, pointed out, I was like, I'm not an employee here, so I can say what I want, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was fun to see, because you're like, oh, yeah, we've been waiting for someone to say that. You know, Triple H came out and did the same whole thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right, you're not an employee here, but we can, you know, still hurt you in other ways or whatever. And that's when they brought out Christian, who obviously just got beaten up by the Shield.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm assuming, how they're going to write off Christian again, because he had, like, a concussion, I think, on Raw last week.
Yeah.
The guy's made out of glass. I'm sorry.
I don't know. We get a Gold Dust return. That was the other advertised return.
Yeah, and it was, it seemed kind of last minute. Well, not last minute, but kind of spur of the moment. Like, they announced Saturday that they were going to bring Gold Dust in, and he was going to have a match against Randy Orton, and if he won, Cody could have his job back. And this is why I like the old corporation storyline, because it's setting up so many other stuff. It's setting up this Big Show thing, where Big Show's going to have a feud with somebody here soon. And it sets up Cody to have a fantastic feud with Randy Orton when he comes back. Or somebody in this new faction. They need to come up with a name for this faction, by the way. The whole...
I mean, we're calling it the Corporation for
nothing we're calling it Corporation 2.0.
Yeah.
But they need to come up with something. I don't know, because I never know what to call them.
I'm going
to
call them Suit and Tie.
Okay.
Because that's what Triple H wears to signify...
Now I got that song stuck in my head.
I know, right? That's where it comes from.
Brr, 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 brr. Yep.
Don't sing.
I'm going to get another... I wasn't going to, but now I kind of want to.
You're
going
to get another theme song somehow. No, we can't sing. We'll have to pay rights.
That's why I didn't say the words.
Well, here's the thing is...
birthday... Well, sorry.
You know you have to pay rights to that, right?
I know. That's why I only said that part.
Goldust...
He had that match, yeah.
Well, he had a good match, but he came on to lose to Randy Orton.
Right, which is what we knew was going to happen. But still, it was just great. Because we got, you know, Goldust moments, you know, periodically through the night.
But I'm kind of curious, like, was he just in town, coincidentally?
No, I just think he's just that willing
to
do it. Like, it was one of those things where he was, whenever he got hurt, and when he was still with the company, they put him on as a producer for SmackDown, I believe. You know, and it was one of those things where he was just itching to come back, and he was ready for a while. He just never got that time. And he was, you know, had a big Twitter campaign to try to get him and Cody a match at WrestleMania 27.
Yeah.
And it just didn't come to fruition.
But,
you know, and it's just one of the things where I just think he was just itching to come back.
Well, my point is, like, who had the initial idea of, we should have Goldust on for one night?
Well, I just think it kind of grew because, you know, we had the thing on SmackDown where, you know, they had the town hall thing and Goldust was just on Twitter just, you know, being very vocal and be like, hey, you know, if there's anything I can do, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if it was something like, hey, this is what we're going to plan, Dustin, so you should, you know, tweet this, this, and this. Or if, you know, it was just him live tweeting and kind of being in character at the same time. They were just like, maybe we can...
use it.
Do something about that and just kind of... to keep the Cody thing fresh because, you know, it's a problem that I believe I addressed on last week's show where it's like, you can't let this sit in the water for too long. You know, because Cody got a hero send-off almost.
Right.
From the crowd last week. And he's going to get a big hero's welcome if you don't wait too long. If you wait too long, people are going to forget and not care.
Yeah.
You know. Or people will be cheering, but then they'll forget why they're cheering in the first place, right. And it will be short-lived.
I mean, he'll have to come back in a super big, bad way. Right now, the second he comes back, he gets that return pop.
Right, and he can either capitalize on it or never live up to those cheers.
Right. But no, it was good to see Goldust again. It was good to see Goldust in a real, genuine match. Like, a lot of the Goldust that we got.
Solid commercial break in between.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. After a while, you're like, yeah, he looks like he's getting a little winded, but a guy his age, the fact that he's still going at all, is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's still putting on a good match.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed the pants off of it, and I don't care how that sounds.
It sounds bad.
I don't care.
Our final return for the evening is...
Santino came back.
Yeah.
To a big pop from the crowd. I think he's from Canada originally, right? Like,
was he out?
Yeah, he was out with an injury, I believe. Yeah, he was out with an injury. And he was also setting up his new training facility. So, it was one of those things where he probably didn't have to come back, but...
Yeah.
It was nice that he did. And he got had an interesting match against Antonio Cesaro. Did the big spin... move thing. I don't know what it's called. Don't write me hateful letters.
The big spin move thing.
Sure. And, you know, he just kept going and kept going. It was one of those things where it was like, oh, this is kind of, you know, hoagie. But he kept going. Like, and so it went from hoagie to, holy crap, that's impressive. You know?
Yeah.
Santino got the roll up win and he went crazy. It was a good return for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got the crowd invested in it, so.
Right on.
I dug it. A little bit of news came out this week. Basically, Lanny Poffo, brother of Randy Savage, basically he's gave WWE permission to induct Randy into the Hall of Fame, which kind of goes against what was believed to be Randy's actual wishes. He didn't want to be inducted in the Hall of Fame unless he was inducted as part of the, you know, PAFO wrestling family. He didn't want to be inducted by himself. And basically, Lanny's quote here is like, I gave them permission to do it without my permission. Just don't invite me, don't pay me, I don't need their 30 pieces of silver to defy my brother's wishes. KFAB commentaries had my best interview regarding the reasons Randy had for this position. Okay, here's the thing. I understand what Lanny was saying here, but you gave the permission anyway.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, what appeal is there, honestly? What appeal is there for WWE to induct the PAFO wrestling family? You know?
Yeah.
How is that anywhere near as monumental as
Randy Savage?
The Macho Man.
Yeah.
You know? It's... And I mean, yeah, you can hold a grudge and be like, oh yeah, this is going against their wishes, but you still gave them permission, okay?
Well, part of it is, I mean, you know, I don't know exactly how the WWE Hall of Fame works, but there's not like a physical Hall of Fame. No. It's a list of people.
Right.
You know, and they add names to this list every year. And so if they want to write down Randy Savage, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a whole lot they can do to stop them. I mean, there have been people who say, take me out of the Hall of Fame because blah blah is inducted, and
I forgot. I want to say it's Billy Superstar Graham wanted to...
Did he want out because
he wanted Abdul to get out the Butcher was in? Yeah, he wanted out. Abdul the Butcher was in.
Yeah.
He wanted out. I mean, I could understand that one, but...
I mean, yeah, but it's, you know, the thing where, you know, they kind of just ignored him.
Mm.
You know.
It's like, because what are they going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
And this thing is, like, obviously, Randy Savage is a name that needs to be in
absolutely. And it's one of those things where it's almost a shame that it's taken them so long to put them in. Obviously, I would have liked them. It would have been great for them to put him in while he was still alive,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, now that he's passed away, like, why hasn't that at least put him in sooner?
Yeah.
You know, of course, you know, WWE doesn't want to do anything without family permission, especially for, you know, a deceased loved one and everything. But it's just, I don't know. I don't understand how... Okay, here's the thing. If they could get Bruno Sammartino to agree to go to the Hall of Fame, I don't think there's any mountain they can't climb in.
No.
Like, it's one of those things I never thought was going to happen just because he had this giant grudge against Vince McMahon. So if they were able to work that out, I don't see why they can't work out anything. You know? Like, they could bring back China, you know, after that. So, I don't know. It's gonna be an interesting Hall of Fame this year. A lot of people are saying Paul Bearer is gonna get inducted, which is, again, it's something that should have happened a long time ago. Again, it was probably, honestly, they were probably waiting until Undertaker was retiring so he can induct him out of character.
Yeah.
Which we still might get. Because, I mean, if Undertaker's going to break character for anybody,
it
might
as well. It'll be for Paul
Bearer. Yeah.
It should be for Paul Bearer.
Yeah. And, I mean, and even if they want to do a dual thing with him and Kane.
Yeah.
Both of them inducting him. I think that would be perfect, to be honest with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Because those two guys basically owe their careers to this guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a character and a family in a situation that, like, yeah, is a perfect storm of just, you know, pure magic there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we also, this is a big, big stretch into, like, actually being wrestling-related news stories, but Shane McMahon.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I sent you that.
Has stepped down from his current position at, where was he working?
You something.
Yeah, it was boxing, wasn't it?
It was basically just a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Type provider. Yeah, he said that he's still gonna, I think he said he's still gonna be the chairman. And there's, like, a couple other, you know, other positions that he's still gonna do, and he's still gonna have, you know, a fingerprint on day-to-day operations. But he's stepping down as, you know, head guy in charge kind of thing. And so everyone's like, well, he can do all that stuff from America. So
I know, which obviously in my brain means he's got time to come back. And, you know, Vince and Steph are on TV, you know. Vince wasn't on this week, but, you know, there's like...
Well, Vince hasn't been on since...
right after SummerSlam.
Since the Monday night after SummerSlam, yeah.
Yeah, but the family has a presence on the program again.
I will say this, Vince McMahon makes his Total Divas debut this week.
Really?
Uh-huh, he happens to walk by whenever the fucking Dactyls are practicing their moves. He's like, oh, Vince is coming. He's like, oh, hey. And he walks by, he's like, keep shaking it, girls! They all shake his hand and he keeps walking.
Man.
It's like, oh, and he's wearing, like, he looks like he's wearing the old, his old, announcer's yellow jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But that's just him wearing ugly jackets.
His clothes.
Yeah. Nothing special about it.
But yeah, no, that's the, you know, obviously it's reading way too much into nothing, but Zanga confirmed.
It could. The door's there. I mean, again, we don't know, you know, his... He still has a position there at that company, so we don't know what that entails and if that means he still has to stay over there.
Yeah.
Or if he can do it from the States. I don't know. Either could happen, you know?
Yeah.
Why raise your family in a foreign country when you can just come back to the States?
Cross your fingers that here comes the money.
Here comes the money. Well, okay, no. Was it Here Comes the Money, it's all about Stephanie? The money. And then the whole money thing with Shane's from the music they used for Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
I think so.
Wow.
I could be wrong. Either way, money is involved. Okay. Yes.
Money related. I would like to hear some money related music play, please.
Because now Stephanie doesn't have that music. She has different music now. Mm-hmm. So, money related stuff we want.
Yes, please.
So we can see Shane. So they revealed the Hell in a Cell poster.
Yes.
For people who haven't seen it, it's a smiling R-Truth.
Like, wicked evil smiling.
In a suit. Mm-hmm. Obviously standing behind some sort of cage.
Yes. Obviously, you can never put too much stock into what the posters are.
Right. I point to Kofi Kingston, you know, celebrating with the Intercontinental Championship for, that's supposed to be for this year's Night of Champions. Homeboy's not a champion right now. I point to Big Show telling Hornswoggle a bedtime story for Money in the Bank 2011.
2011 was bad, because that was also Santino telling the future.
Yeah, looking to the...
For the Royal Rumble, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was the best pay-per-view with the worst poster.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we could read into it and be like, oh, you know...
R-Truth's getting a major push between now and the, you know, middle of October.
Right. Or not.
Or not.
He can get a good face push, or heel push. He could, you know, the suit could be, you know, he's part of the corporation.
The only thing that's really interesting is that R-Truth does not seem to be in the current character that he's in.
Right, that's the interesting thing. He's not wearing the...
R-Truth
gear. The vest. He's not, you know, he's not wearing the jeans. He's, you know, he's very dolled up R-Truth.
And with the corporation storyline...
It's hard
right
not
now.
To draw lines.
Yeah. Again, we're probably grasping at metaphorical straws.
But like, oh yeah, we haven't put R-Truth on a poster in a while, you know. Yeah.
So.
We're just hoping for our heel.
Our heel.
Because we all want that back.
I miss that.
It was so much fun.
It was,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I posed this question to Joel.
And we decided to answer it
on here.
The podcast.
Now that Goldust lost, and there, you know, that avenue for Cody coming back is closed.
Yes.
How would we bring back Cody? And I wanted to ask you that first.
Okay, you have an answer?
I have an idea, yes. Okay. And I'll see how close yours is to mine.
Is Cody still technically in the possession of the original Money in the Bank briefcase?
Possibly. I don't think so.
I mean, Sandow has a different one now.
Well, yeah.
Like, it was, you know.
They retrieved it.
Yeah. So, like.
I don't remember who retrieved it.
Well, Cody had it, because I remember it was, like, wet. And I was like, why was it wet? You pulled it out of the bay a week and a half ago. Why is it still wet?
Very sure.
But if Cody has it, you know, there's a stretch, but there's technically you could, I mean, use your WWE logic.
Right.
And if Cody is in possession of it and cashes it in.
Right after Damian cashes his in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
That's an interesting way.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, a new leader comes in with a new regime and Cody's his forefront. I'm saying Shane. Like, Shane comes back and Cody is his guy.
Yeah.
You know, that would capitalize on the high note that Cody left on, and it would be a big push because, you know, you have this big guy that would be in power saying that this is my guy.
Right. Well, the thing is,
because my thinking is, you know, the easiest route to go to in bringing Cody back is some sort of, you know, regime change.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and what you have right now is basically you are setting up your storylines for the rest of the year.
Mm.
Because we are assuming that Cena and Sheamus, it's very likely that one or both will return at Royal Rumble.
Right.
Royal Rumble also obviously starts your WrestleMania sequence. So this is the storyline you're choosing to put up against NFL.
Right.
This is what you got, so.
Which is going to be basically, like, probably an umbrella with this whole, the whole Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of what it seems they might be doing, and I would not mind this, is if these storylines started to get, you know, interwoven and connected.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, we don't have that. We have, you know, these two guys are feuding, and we get their segment, and then these two guys are feuding, and we get their segment, and these two guys are feuding, and we get their segment.
Right.
If there is more cohesive, you know, with Triple H being this overarching bad guy to the whole company,
mm-hmm.
and sticking his finger in every single pie, you know, it encourages me to watch the whole show.
Right.
Instead of, you know, because when I don't watch it live, I you know, watch self-edited highlights, you know. This looks boring, and then fast forward through it.
Yeah.
So, that's that.
Okay.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRAttire, where we live tweet every Monday and appropriate Sundays, including this Sunday, which I'm assuming is on the delayed schedule.
Yeah, we're going to do a delayed schedule after I get off work around 11.
Awesome.
Okay. You can email us, send us all your questions, comments, anything you want us to cover on the show, fill up the mail sack. I don't like there not being a mail sack. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I want a mail sack every week. So, send those to classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. You can find us there, you can download, you can subscribe, you can rate, you can review, you can give us
five stars.
Nice load.
Thank you.
All of that would be greatly appreciated by the two of us.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. While you're there, go ahead and check out all the great columns. I'm going to have one out later on this week where I go through, hopefully, a bigger Not a Champions card, but we'll see.
We'll just stall.
Yeah.
Constantly click refresh.
While you're there, go ahead and check out all the great stuff.
And finally, we wanted to let you know about the brand new project that we're starting here at Classy Ring Attire.
Yep.
It was mentioned last week, and I wasn't here to talk about it.
I know. I was nervous about doing the promo about it without you.
So, as I'm sure you know, we are headed towards the 30th WrestleMania.
Yep.
A milestone anniversary. And to celebrate that fact, I decided to go back and watch every single WrestleMania.
We do this for you.
We are
It's painful at times.
We are going to do a special podcast, the Classic Ring of Tire Presents the WrestleManias, which we're very excited about.
Yes.
If you want to listen to that, first of all, as we just mentioned about the iTunes and the subscribing, if you are subscribed to us, do nothing.
Yep.
It will automatically come to you. If you are somehow not subscribed to us, but you still want the Classy Ring Attire presents the WrestleManias, then we will make a separate podcast feed for that one as well.
On iTunes?
On iTunes.
Okay.
But
that's in case you want us to hear us. If you want to hear us talk about WrestleMania, but you don't really want to talk about anything else.
Yes.
There you go.
That'll be the Classy Ring Attire presents the WrestleManias podcast.
Yes.
And that will start this Sunday.
Yep.
So, very excited. WrestleMania 1 this Sunday.
Yep.
Madison Square Garden.
And, you know, from what I understand, we're going to release those on Sundays every week leading up to WrestleMania.
Yeah, and for those of you who can put two and two together, that means we're 30 weeks away from WrestleMania.
Very true. This is how we're doing our countdown.
This is our countdown, yeah.
Very, very nice.
Very exciting. Yes. All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.